thinking when we were worshiping that all of you, I know you have things going on. I know you have heartbreak. I know some are just tired. They work. You have families. You have life. And yet you're going to get up and come on a Wednesday night when you probably feel good to just curl up in bed. But you're here, and God's got a word for you. And I'm telling you, I know, like all of you, we have done this. We come to church. We're here all the time, right? But God is speaking. He's always been speaking. But He has something that's happening that's like a right now thing. There's just, it is a Kairos time. That means it's a divine time for things to happen. And I'm going to tell you, honestly, even saying that, it's over my head. I don't get it. I was thinking jokingly, I'm going to explain the Trinity. No, I'm not. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't. I believe it. And add that to the very long list of things I could say. I don't know. I don't know how there could be 100 billion stars in this. I don't know. Or more than could ever be counted. I don't know. And all that, how he could love everyone the same. I don't get it. I don't know. But I believe him. And I believe his word. And that's what he says. So here's a verse. This is in 1 Corinthians. It says, and actually this is crazy because it's what it's talking about is a normal church service. So just so that you know, this is what a normal church service is said to be like. This is 1 Corinthians 14:26. It says, brethren, what is the right course? When you meet together, each one has a hymn. That means we sing. Somebody might have a special song, a teaching, a disclosure of special knowledge or information, an utterance in a tongue, a strange tongue, an interpretation of that tongue. Let everything be done constructive and edifying and for the good of all. Meaning when we come together, everybody, you bring a part. That's why we're here together. Yes. Because we're a body. We were talking about that at a pastor's meeting today. In just listening to them, I had this picture about how the Lord in the Old Testament had set up the tribes. And did you know the tribes were the formation of a cross? Yes. I thought that was pretty cool how he had it set up. And how, just like we look at our churches today, some of us come from different backgrounds. And that's one of the reasons I love the pastor's prayer meetings is that we're not non-denominational, right? Not everybody thinks like us. And you can still hang out, and you can have a meeting, and you can pray together, and you can realize we're on the same team, and yet be in different bodies. And I was thinking how the tribes were like that, how they were separated in these different groups where they could work well together, where they could help one another, but they were all still part of the kingdom. And that's how we are, and it's cool. So if you think about it right now, church is happening. Say churches on a Wednesday night, all over the world right now, people are in their tribe getting fed the word. Isn't that awesome to think about? We're just here, just one little spot, and to think that of all of those kids of God, that there isn't one that he loves any more than the other. That we are all, if it was just for that one, he would have died for that one. That's an incredible love. Again, that's probably another one that's just way beyond my understanding to love with that kind of passion for the ungodly. You just think about the most vile person that you have ever met or maybe seen and known of, as wicked and evil as a human heart could be, God would die for that person. And that's his own. And then he tells us, as he loved, we're supposed to love without that judgment, without that. If he's not, did you know it says in John that he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save them? They deserved condemnation. They're evil. And he knows their thoughts. It's not even all about he knows the thoughts. Are your thoughts all good and pure and loving? Oh my gosh. I'm glad they're not posted up there for everybody to see, And yet he loves. He just loves. He just loves. Oh, I know, right, Melanie? No, thank you. That's the private place. Yes. All right. Well, if you want, open up to Romans chapter 1, and we're just going to read some verses in here, and then I have our lesson out of that. I couldn't even think of a title for it because it seemed like it was just all over the place, so many different things. But you know me, I don't talk long, but I do talk fast, so you have to listen quick. Okay, but I did want to mention a couple things before we get into it. As I said, Miss Lydia is not feeling well. Barbara's daughter, Angela, she's in the hospital. What they did was she had meningitis last week, for if anybody doesn't know, and they took her off the medication that keeps you sedated. So she's coming to. We need to pray that all the faculties come to. So that's the prayer request for Angela. This Friday night, Dana Morrison Shaw, Brother Brian's daughter, she's going to speak to, well, it originally started, she was going to come and speak to the young people on soul ties. But then we thought, you know, I guess all of us really need to learn about this, don't you think? Because each and every one of us, we can have a soul tie. Doesn't have to be in oftentimes it is in a sexual relationship, but you can have it in a friendship, in a parental relationship, you know, with your kids or whatever. So she's going to come and talk to us this Friday night about soul ties. If you want, or if you know somebody that might want to come to that, Friday at 7. There's a toy drive. Maybe you know something about that, Sandy. Miss Ann was talking about the toy drive. On December 12th. Oh, okay. I thought she said it was November. Oh, okay. So you got a ways on that. Okay, December 12th. So we got time on that. This Saturday is the men's meeting. So fellas, if you want to come out for that, I think it's at 6? Okay. I think they're going to do, along with his normal message, a flag burning ceremony. So we had some flags that's the proper way to dispose of them, the flag burning ceremony. So they're going to do that. And then flag retirement. Thank you. Flag retirement.
It says flag burning on the thing.
Oh. Okay. Well, so it's called flag retirement. Okay. And then one more, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday for Thanksgiving, we're having, it's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And so we're going to have a potluck lunch here, and we just love for everybody to come. So if you can come Sunday, that Sunday. All right. So Romans chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 7, and verse 23 is really the main verse, but I'll just, before we get into verse 7, I'll just tell you, this is Paul wrote Romans, and he says in the first verse that he was a bondservant of Jesus and he was called to be an apostle. And so an apostle, what an apostle does is they're usually overseers in churches, and they have like a big picture type of mentality. And if you think of the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, oftentimes the apostle can fit in all of those areas. And the reason why they can do that is because they are called by God to see the bigger part of what's going on in the church. So that's what the apostle Paul was to the church. And you notice in this, he's called by God. He's summoned by God. So a lot of times man puts themselves in positions, and I know I've done it myself. Probably all of you can relate to it. You tried something. I think I tried just about every sport and it just didn't work. So the smart thing to do is realize that's the wrong place for you. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't have a place for you. And that's why he puts in here, I was called to this. So I'm called to be in a position where I'm an overseer of the church, where I can see the big picture and where I can kind of guide and direct people. And so this was a position that was created for him by God. And then in verse 7, it says, to you, God's beloved ones in Rome. So that's who this letter is written to, were those who were in Rome. And this part right here, called to be saints. This word called, Ryan's sister taught on it years ago, and it was just kind of one of those words that when it gets in your head, you don't forget. And you probably know this already, but I'll just clarify. Just because it says called here doesn't mean every time the word called in Scripture has the same meaning. Because just like in our English language, you could have one word that meant all kinds of things. Well, this particular word, so I made sure when I looked it up in the Greek, it is the word kaleo. And the word kaleo means a divine summons. So I don't know about y'all, but if you get a summons in the mail, it's sad to say, but we probably don't take it very seriously anymore. We're always thinking about, how can I get out of this? I don't really want to go to jury duty. I'm not sure that I want to. I know the last time Tim prayed, I'm telling you, the last time I had it, I prayed, I do not want to go to jury duty. I'll just, please, Jesus, let it get canceled. And it did. So So I'm so thankful. But this says we are called. We are summoned by God. So don't think about that on this plane anymore. Forget about the whole being called to jury duty. Being called by God. You have been summoned by God. Take this seriously as a saint. When I put out the prayer requests, that's why I address it to the saints. Those who are called by God, those who are set apart by God, each and every one, this is written to all of us, we are summoned, set apart for a sanctified life. That ought to make you feel good. So he says, those who are called by to be saints, designated for a consecrated life, and this is what God says to you, grace, that's the word charis. And then when we think of grace, we think of favor, and it is favor, but it's also an ability. It's also His influence on our heart. Grace is so many things. It's a gifting. It's a blessing. So grace and spiritual blessing and peace. And this word peace, it's the word irene. It's the same word that the angels said when Jesus was born and said, peace on earth, goodwill from God to you. Peace on earth, peace, irene. That means you have been brought back together as one with God. So that's the kind of peace. It's not this peace. That's not peace. It's not peace. This is peace where it says you have been drawn to Him. He came to you. Now He's drawn us to Him. We have been brought back together again as one. That is what has been given. That's peace. Well, doesn't that change your mind about what peace is? Peace isn't found in a bottle. Peace isn't found in a pill. Peace isn't found in shopping or any of the other things we look for peace. Peace is in God. It's being brought back together again as one. So grace and peace to you from God. Not wrath, punishment, judgment. I'm just tired of your crap. Don't you feel that way sometimes? I mean, I'm telling you, I still have to fight that religious thinking in my own head of I haven't done enough. I'm telling you, I don't know why. Maybe it's a default of being on the planet Earth, but somehow we always seem to kind of get back to I am not doing enough for God. But right here, he said, and in all these letters, it's the greeting is the same. Grace and peace. It just takes a lot. That's all I can say. It just takes a lot to break through that old thinking and to think His way. And really, y'all, the only way that I know to do that is you just be in the Word. You just keep pumping the Word in you, and then eventually it will drown out the sound of this world. Okay, so called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Because the report of your faith is known all over the world. This is really cool, but I've had a lot of people, they'll ask to be on our prayer chain, and we don't know them, but it, like you guys last week with Patrick and Susan, people that we might have connection through someone else in the body, but they know that we take prayer seriously here. It's not a flippant thing, and we don't want it to be a loosey-goosey thing. This is God's system that we receive through prayer. And he said, the report of your prayer life, it's known everywhere. Wow, what a great way to be known. Could you imagine being known in Deer Park as all, I don't know how many churches are in Deer Park, there's a lot. But what if you were known as the church that prayed? So that's what these guys were known for. Their faith was known. And then it says, as God is my witness. It's funny that he says, as God is my witness. It's like, that's like my way of saying, I swear, I promise, I didn't lie. Actually, Linda, one time when I was at Fairmont Christian Academy, I said, I swear. And they said, you're not supposed to say that. And that was I was early in my Christian life. And I had no idea you weren't supposed to say, I swear. I was like, why not? Smoke either, do drugs, and you can't swear? I know, it was a little all over my head. I had to sign a contract when I first took a job at this place at Fairmont Christian Center that I wasn't going to do all these things. I was like, okay, yeah, I'll just sign that contract, but I am not there yet, so add lying to it. Okay, so I thank my God for all of you, for your faith, as God is my witness, whom I serve with my whole spirit, rendering priestly and spiritual services and preaching the gospel and telling the good news of His Son, how incessantly I always mention you in my prayers. Isn't that incredible that that was what Paul was doing? He was, I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. I've been studying humility. And there's this quote, I think I might put it out tomorrow, but it's C.S. Lewis. And he said, humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. I know, I love that. And so this is what he's saying here. I'm praying for you. My mind is on you. I'm thinking about you. He said, I keep pleading that somehow by God's will, I may now at last prosper and come to you, for I am yearning to see you that I may impart and share with you some spiritual gift. And I promise that is how it works because that's how I feel too. I look forward to every time I can impart something to you, every time I can share something with you. And as soon as I'm done, I'm like, I can't wait to do it again. I want, but look at this. This is key. He said, I long for this. I just want to be with you so I can share with you something from the Lord's heart. I'm sure Pastor M, when he comes home, he's probably going to be like that. I can't wait to share with you what the Lord has given me. But then look what it says next, that we may be mutually strengthened and encouraged and comforted by each other's faith. By yours and by mine. This is why we don't forsake the assembling together. This is why we don't mind getting out on a Wednesday night when we might rather stay at home. It's because something happens when we come together and we share. When we share, this is what the Lord has been teaching me, and you say, you know what? This is what God's been telling me, and we pray for one another. We talk about one another. We think about one another. We just get together and operate as a family, and what's supposed to happen is the body grows strong. You think about it. We go to the gym. What does it do? What does it take for us to actually get strong? Effort, work, resistance. Usually the things that we avoid. Effort, work, resistance. Why would we want to do something that was hard? Why would we want to do something that makes us feel uncomfortable? Because it makes us stronger. And that's what he wants us to do when we come together as a body, because we build one another up and we get strong. So he says, I want you to know, brethren, that many times I planned and intended to come to you, but so far I've been hindered. And what he meant by this hindered, this wasn't being hindered in a spiritual sense. He was being hindered because as he was on his way, there were so many people that needed the Lord. So he's ministering to this one. He's ministering to this one. He's ministering to this one. But then he's making his way to them. And then he says, so that I can have fruit among you. And then verse 14, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, which the barbarians meant the non-Greeks. It sounds kind of, I guess, harsh, but it's the non-Greeks, to the cultured, to the uncultured, to the wise, to the foolish. I have an obligation to discharge and a duty to perform and to pay a debt. So for my part, I am willing and eagerly ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. You know what gospel means? It's the good news. And I know probably all of you could say this, but I could look back over my life and go, oh my gosh, I'm so ashamed that I did that. I'm so ashamed that I said that. I'm so thankful Facebook wasn't around back then and that there isn't a picture of all that and it didn't get on YouTube, and probably I could still lie that I don't even know about that. I'm ashamed of it. I truly could not stand up here today if I did not receive forgiveness. I will be honest with you, I do not live in guilt. I don't. I don't live in shame. I don't, and there's plenty of it. Believe me, there's plenty of things that I could say, and I don't deserve to be here by any, I do not. The only reason that I stand here is I just said, when he said, I forgive you, I said, okay, I believe you. I can't do anything. I can't fix it. I can't change it. But I will bring you glory by just saying, yes, sir. You said, let it go. You said, quit thinking about it. I will, because that pleases you. I can't tell you how many times on a Sunday morning to lead praise and worship, I'll think, oh my gosh, I could do so much better. I'm sorry, Father. I know you. And then I think, stop it. Is that bringing him pleasure? Stop thinking about yourself. Think about him, right? Listen to you. Okay, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is the power working unto salvation for who? Everyone who does what? Believes. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel is the good news. When you want to tell somebody about Jesus, what do you bring to them? You bring to them the gospel, not your broken, battered story. We tell them about Jesus. Jesus can save them. We can't do anything for them. The gospel is the power of God. And then it says, in the gospel, a righteousness or right standing is ascribed, assigned, or revealed from faith to faith. And listen, this verse right here, it's four times in the Bible, once in the Old and three times in the New Testament. It says, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live, and shall live by what?
Faith.
By faith. Four times in the Bible, it says how we are to live as believers. We live by faith. Everything, absolutely everything that we get from God, it's all the same way. It is by faith. In Colossians, it says, how did you receive the Lord Jesus? Now walk out your Christian life. You received Him by faith. So now how do you receive healing? You receive healing by faith. How do you receive deliverance? You receive deliverance by faith. How do you receive your forgiveness? How do you receive the mind of Christ? Any other promise in the Bible, it's all done the same way. It's all by faith. So it says, God's holy wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who in their wickedness repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. Can you believe that we can hinder and oppress and make inoperative the Word of God? We can. And so people say all the time, if God wants it done, it will get done. That is a lie. Well, He will, in a sense. But will it happen through you? He'll find somebody He can use. Because there are things in the Bible that says we make Him inoperable in our life. So do you know what a couple of those things are? Remember when Jesus went to His hometown, He could not do many mighty works. Why? Because of their, not His, because of their unbelief. And then it also says this, the traditions of man make God's word of none effect. That's why sometimes we got to shake things up, and we all can get into patterns, cycles, just ways of doing things that we think, oh, I done it this way, blah, 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 blah. Our traditions can make God's, can. I'm not saying they always do, because some traditions are really good. But there are things, patterns that we can get into that absolutely make God's word of none effect. And then this is one thing we're going to kind of talk about, something that makes God's word inoperable. So the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present God can be inoperable. How does that work in your head? I know, because we really have to think about that. Wait a second. Am I limiting you, God? You're not limitable. But I can limit you in my own life. I can make you inoperable in me. And so then it kind of goes on to say, for that which is known about God is evident to them and made plain in their inner conscience because God Himself showed it to them. For ever since the creation of the world, His invisible nature and attributes, that is His eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made. So men are without excuse, altogether without any defense or justification. I kind of summarize that and say it this way. Nature screams God. And He said right here, the things that you can see out there, there is no excuse. Have you ever thought, well, they haven't heard the gospel. How could they know? They've lived a hard life. Things have been really bad for them. They grew up on the wrong side of town. Their parents weren't around. He said right here, there is no excuse, because He put on the inside of us, and we're going to look at that verse here in a second, but He also showed us in nature Himself. How does every plant life produce? How does every animal life produce? How does every human produce? It is the same way that Jesus came onto this earth and was produced by a seed. He showed us right outside. Walk out the door and look outside, and you can see, oh my gosh, this is how He does it. Nature screams God. Okay, then verse 21, because when He knew, or when they knew and recognized Him as God, they did not honor and glorify Him as God or give Him thanks. Think about that. They did not only not honor Him, but thank Him. They didn't thank God, but instead they became futile and godless in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and made simpletons themselves. And then verse 23, and I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified and then in the New American Standard. It says, and by them the glory and majesty and excellence of the immortal God were exchanged for and represented by images resembling mortal man, birds, beasts, and reptiles. So listen to that same verse in the New American Standard. I think it makes it easier to understand. It says they exchanged the glory. Let me tell you what the glory is. The glory is it's this word doxa. It's the Greek word doxa. It means praise, honor, approval, brightness, majesty. Listen, this word doxa means opinion that is always good. Always good. Ugh, get a hold of that. They exchanged the opinion of God that is always good, the incorruptible, the undecaying, imperishable, immortal God, for an image in the form of birds, animals, humans, creatures. Basically, they worship the creation instead of the Creator. And then get this, if you back up one verse to verse 22, it says, thereby, by having worshiped the things that God made, they become fools. This word fools, it's the word, I'm probably going to say it wrong, but moriano, it's where we get our English word moron from. Isn't the Bible funny? It is. Morons trade the creation for the Creator. That's what the Bible says. They're morons. Pretty clear, right? How stupid, how foolish, how witless can you be to go after this when you could have that? This is limited. In Psalm 115, it talks about the idols of the nations, and it said that they have mouths, but they can't speak. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have noses, but they can't smell. They have hands, but they can't touch. Feet, but they can't walk. And we're worshiping these things. Think about this. You remember when God freed the children of Israel and Abraham had gone up onto the mountain and he was receiving the Ten Commandments. And you remember Aaron, he was left behind. And the people have a hissy fit. And they needed something to worship. Can you just get this in your head that you need something that bad? And let me tell you, we can mock them. But who in here just dies for a piece of chocolate? Make it personal. And I'm not going to go to the other things, but just think about it. I got to have that. I need that. That will make me feel better. And you are substituting that for him. And listen to this. When he got down from the mountain, he was so angry. Remember, they had taken all their gold and they formed a cow out of it. And he melted that cow down and he made them eat the dust. That was some wrath right there. How stupid. What a moron you are that you worship this stuff and not the true God. I know sometimes the Bible, you talk about the love of God, but at the same time, the love of God, there is he's still God. And in his love, he's just. He's not, you know, I was listening to a teaching today, and I've heard this, I don't know who first started this, but they said, if God doesn't punish, I can't stand that saying. If he doesn't punish America, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Whoever first made that statement, and it's been repeated a jillion times since then, that was the Old Testament. He punished Jesus. We're not receiving the wrath of God in that same way, but at the same time, it doesn't mean that it's still not foolish, and you yourself suffer. I jokingly say it this way. You can go ahead and drive 90 down Center Street. God will still love you, but he'll do it from jail. He still loves you, but you'll suffer consequences for being dummies. Let's do it his way. So they had exchanged the glory, the approval of God. Can you imagine? We do this all the time, saying, God, I don't want your approval. I really want this person to like me. Does it ever do that to you when somebody doesn't like you? I think about 7 billion people on the planet, and say, let's just say at the worst case scenario, 100 of them don't like you. Why would we focus on the 100? When we have the always good approval of the Almighty God. Always, always. He is always pleased with us. He always wants to be with us. He always wants to love. He always has an encouraging word. And it's like sometimes he's the last one. Hey, let me call up my buddy first and tell them. Instead of hearing it from, and I'm not, believe me, I'm not discounting that, because we just talked about that in this pastor's meeting today. We need friends. Yes. As pastors, as people, we need. It is a need. There's friendship in the Bible. Jesus is a friend, but he gave us one another so that we can lean on one another and lean into one another. Okay, so that was Psalm 115. And then at the end of that Psalm 115, it says, we become like what we worship. Ultimately, that's powerless. And I know we've talked about that a lot in here, because what you look at, what you behold, you become. So say you idolize a powerless idol, you ultimately reflect that idol. We see all the time, maybe somebody who's materialistic, their focus is so much on stuff that that's what you see when you see them. Do you want to reflect that, or do you want to reflect the one who has always a good opinion? Remember when it talked about, I guess it was Peter and them, they said after they'd spent time with the Lord, these guys, uneducated, they don't even know left from right, but they've been with God. That gives me hope, I'm telling you, because a lot of times I think, I'm uneducated, God, I don't even know what I'm doing most of the time. And yet, I think he gets a kick out of using people like that, right? Because if you already know everything, I mean, he'll move on to somebody else. So we become like what we worship. And I was thinking about Lot's wife. You remember it says in the end times, it's going to be like in the days of Noah. But also it referred to Sodom and Gomorrah. And so, you know, we can go about the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah because it's in the name of sodomy. But I want you to think about this. There was a lot more going on in Sodom and Gomorrah than that. In my mind, in my studies of Scripture, I believe Sodom and Gomorrah was a place to create the Nephilim. Yeah. And it had to be destroyed. But think about Lot and his wife. Do you know the angel came to them and said, you got to get out of here because this place is going up? And they're like, when? How screwed up is that? What's going on in their head that they're thinking, okay, this place is about to go up in smoke and I just need a little bit more time? They so idolized that environment that they couldn't get themselves out of there. Did you know the angel took them out of there?
Yes, they did.
That's God's mercy.
It is.
And you know, that's what he did for us too. We are, yes, we are in this world, but we truly are not of this world. And you know, we're dual citizens. We're with him right now. Yes, we're here physically, but we are in spiritual places right now. It's by faith. So, but think about this when Lot's wife, isn't it interesting that we don't know her name? She'll go down to me as Lot's wife. Lot's wife, she just, the one thing they told her not to do, just one thing, just get out, just head out. And don't look back. The one thing, she became what she worshiped. Fixated on her idols. Unable to move. Powerless. Why would we exchange the glory of God for powerless images? Okay, so why is it that we get fixated on creation so much rather than on the Creator? And my thought on it is the reason why is it's just sensible. And I use that term sensible because it is, in the sense that we perceive from our five senses. So see, touch, taste, smell, and hear. These, obviously, these aren't bad things. These are good things. Can you imagine living your life? And I know, like Ronnie, you have your hearing has been impacted and affected, and that affects you, right? Not being able to hear. I can't imagine what it would be like to not be able to see or to not be able to touch. You know, if something, or to not be able to smell. There's fire coming. Our natural human senses are there to protect us. They're God-given. But we do have another sense, and it's the sixth sense. And I know that's not, it's really not a New Agey thing. It's right out of the Bible. The sixth sense, or if you look up a definition for it, it says it's the ability to know something without using our ordinary five senses. So, and you know what? God is so good. Don't you think he could use a natural, worldly term to speak supernatural things to us? Don't let things offend us. Do you know when I read the love chapter, it says of God, he's not easily offended. So let's get a grip. If he can use the term sixth sense and pull in somebody who's not a believer by saying, hey, did you know what? You were born with a sixth sense. You were born with it. Because remember, we said nature screams God. No man is without excuse. There's something else that screams God, and we are still without an excuse. So look at this one. This is Ecclesiastes. This is Ecclesiastes 3:11. It says, he planted eternity in men's hearts and minds, a divine implanted sense of purpose that works through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. Nature screams God. Did you know your own heart screams God? He planted on the inside of each one of us eternity. So you could go, somebody says, well, I don't know. I didn't know. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You do, because he put within us, you want to call it intuition, you want to call it a sixth sense, whatever you want to call it, you came here with it. God would be unjust had he not given us this. Did you know that? And he is not an unjust God. He is not. He planted within each one of us a sense of destiny, a sense of purpose. Isn't that why people always, I want to know what I'm supposed to do. I want to know what I'm called for, because that's on the inside of us. It's a longing. It's a hunger to be in the place, in the position, doing the thing that we're called to do. And nothing can satisfy that but him. And he put that, when you came here, that was woven on the inside of you, a hunger for purpose. So nature screams God, your own heart screams God. And then I just want to say this too, whether somebody is born again or not, this is still at work in them. Aren't you glad for that? Oh my goodness. Man, I can think, and I know all of you could too, back in your life and you think, before you were saved, did you know God was helping you then? Now, the Holy Spirit didn't live on the inside of you because you weren't born again, but you were still his child. So he's working with you. I remember being a kid. I remember hearing the voice of God. I remember having dreams. I remember being drawn to him, because you are his very own. He's not going to let you go. So born again or not, he's given us nature and he's planted eternity on our hearts so that we can be drawn to him, because all of these things scream God. So whether you want to call it whatever you want to call it, all of these things let us know that there is a God. And so this unseen realm that we know is actually what we are to look to, because what we pick up with our senses are you, and the things that people idolize, it's because they are drawn to sensual things. But this sixth sense picks up on things that can't be discerned with our senses. So look at this. This is 2 Corinthians 4:18. It says, consider and look not. You know, it said that about, I get my names mixed up a lot, but Abraham, right? When he was had produced a child at 100 years old. Did you know it said that he considered not his own body? Think about that. How often are we considering our bodies? Oh, let me think. How do I feel today? What does my body feel like today? What does my body need today? When God said, you 100-year-old dude, you're going to have a baby, he was like, okay. All right. He didn't even consider Sarah. So this, when this says consider not, think of all the things that we entertain with our minds. Man, this says consider not and look not. Not so deny yourself the things that we perceive and take in with our natural senses. Look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are visible, the things that we pick up with our senses, are temporary. But the things that we can't see are eternal. how do you look at what you can't see? Bingo. Romans 1 said four times in the scripture, we live by faith. We live our lives by faith. The way that we consider not and look not to what we can see, what we can feel, what we can taste, what we can smell, and consider and look at something that we can't see, it is all by faith. Everything we do is done by faith. Everything is done by faith. So now this is what we're going to do as we kind of like wrap this up. We're going to talk about or tell me some things that you are taking a hold of by faith. Anybody sick? Anybody? You mentioned something tonight, Anna. Something going on in your body. So we just said we're not going to take images, things, and idolize that. We're going to get our value, our worth from the one who always has a good opinion of us. And we're going to grab a hold of the provisions in the Word the same way. It's by faith. So you take a verse like 1 Peter 2:24, and it says, by his stripes, I'm healed. Excuse me. So then what we do is we look at it. I don't see Jesus right here. I see Jesus right here. And I think about his body. And I make myself see his back ripped open. His mangled flesh. And then I make me see my flesh well. Because that's how we look not to what we see here, but what we see there. That's how we do it. It's by faith. So how about anybody got a wayward kid? Of course. Grandkid, niece, nephew, whoever. In Ephesians, it says, in Ephesians 6:1, it says, our children honor their parents in the Lord and all goes well for them. I see Gab, our daughter Gab. I see her. I make myself. It's by faith. Because you could look at some of the things that she says and some of the things that she does and think, oh my goodness. Exactly. But I'm going to look not at what I see. I'm going to look at what I can't see. That she is honorable. That she is respectful. That she is taught of the Lord and great is her peace and undisturbed composure. That she will live to declare his works. That she will glorify him in her body and in her mind. How do we do it? It is by faith. Can your idols provide this for you? Can the television give this for you? Can more food satisfy you with this? And we can think of all kinds of other things. We just won't get there. Okay, so how about safety? I know I've told you this before, but when I got born again, one of my biggest issues was I was just afraid. I mean, I was afraid of everything. Remember when I got to AA, I said, I am afraid of people. How are you going to do it? I was terrified of people. I remember I walked around looked at the ground all the time, and there was this man who walked by and he picked up my head and he said, I forgot how he worded it, but about how to look at people in the eyes instead of looking at their toes. I thought, I just can't do it. I'm just not there. I was scared. I was insecure. And I'm going to tell you, there is nothing that it talks about. The fear of the Lord gives you confidence. Honoring God changes you. I tried everything to make myself not scared. I tried everything. I mean, literally, I really think that's why I drank and did drugs in the first place. It was because I was just terrified of everything. And it minimized all that for a little while. And so I could actually talk to people or function in the world. But then it takes everything else away too. So when I got in, I first was born again, I got Psalm 91 and I printed it out and I put it in my car. And before I turned my car on, I read, he who dwells. thought, I dwell, I'm staying in that secret place. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he is stable under the shadow of the Almighty God, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, he is my hiding place, no evil will befall me. And then I'd go over to Deuteronomy 28, I am blessed coming, I am blessed going, I'm the head, I am not the tail, I'm above it, I am not beneath. And how was all that done? Because I deserved it? Because I paid my tithes? Because I went to church? No. I just chose to believe his word. That is it. I remember this one time, y'all, I had this lady tell me, and I'll probably tell you this story 100 times because it impacted me so much. And she said to me when I was talking to her about, well, you just do it by faith. And she said, I don't have what you have. And I really thought, because that together, I thought, I wish I had something you didn't have. I wish God gave me something that you didn't have, and then you could have an excuse, because I'd like to have more than you. I don't. We all got the measure of faith. Yes. So whether you want to use yours or not, that's up to you. It is done the same way, and we all got the same thing. There's not one of us in here that can grab hold of a promise of God that someone else can't have the same promise. You say, well, why wasn't I healed? Why doesn't something happen for me? I've been praying. I've been crying out. I've been asking. I don't know. I genuinely don't know. Ask God. Because sometimes we're exposing ourselves to the enemy. Sometimes we're really not walking in faith. My grandpa, the most wonderful man I know, I've ever known, I believe when he said this, it was the truth. It was his truth. He believed for my grandma to be well. He did. I believe with everything in him, he believed for her to be healed. And she wasn't. But I don't believe she really, really wanted it. To be honest with you, I think she liked the attention. It's not up to me. I don't know. All I know, y'all, is his word. It cannot fail us. And if we choose to believe him in spite of everything we've done, Ron, everything, it's all under the blood of Jesus. Every bit of it. There is not one thing that he's holding against any one of us. Nothing. His blood, there's this word efficacious. It is more than enough. I'm telling you, if the standard was set up this high, there is still not one of us in here, no matter how close we reached it, could get to it. It was just too high. But he got it, and he paid the price, and he did it all for all time for every single one of us. Now, all we have to do to walk out everything that he's provided for us is choose to believe what he said. He is faithful to his word. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to his word. If you know what? This is, get this. If you think, okay, I'm going to grab a hold of this until probably the next time I sin. Well, let me tell you, that'll probably be in about 5 minutes. Because the Bible says anything not of faith is sin. You are sinning all the time, constantly. But we have Jesus. Yes. He paid the price for sin. Our sin is not keeping us from receiving from him. Our faith is. And when you get that closer walk with him, the sin just kind of drops off and drops off and drops off. Let me tell you, I would still give Gab food if she was doing wrong. I still take care of her. I still provide for her. Still love her. Do everything for her. Because she's mine. And God feels the very same about each one of us. Everything we get from him is by faith. So let's just pray. Father, I know there are probably multiple needs in this room tonight, things that people don't want to talk about. And God, sometimes I think we're just embarrassed because we're just not where we want to be, spiritually speaking. I'm not either. I'm not. I want to know you better. I want to discern your presence. I want to hunger for you. I know everybody in here feels the same. We don't want to go for the idol when we could have the real thing. Don't let us set this word aside. Let us remember tonight. Let us remember what you've said. Let us grab a hold of the truth of the word, God, and remind us when we pull away that you're right there waiting. You're not mad at us. Grace and peace are multiplied to us. And it is more than enough. You've given us all more than enough for every need. God, you told us to stir one another up. Let this word stir us up tonight, that we not miss out on not one promise that you have. We don't want to get home and you show us, well, you did good, but you had a whole lot more left you could have done. We want to get there having finished. Thank you for equipping us with everything we need to walk this out well. God, I speak a blessing over every person here. Father, my heart's desire for all of them is that they would know how much you love them. That we would just be like crazy kids, just, man, Daddy loves me. He just loves me. He just loves me so much that we just are unashamed of the gospel, of the good news.